Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Redoubters and lovers of Americanism, patriots, preppers, and survival bloggers. This is Radio Free Redoubt, shouting across the American Redoubt and beyond, urging you to heed the call to join the demographic shifting of God-fearing, liberty-loving, conservative Christians into the mountain states. We call it the American Redoubt. We're here to encourage those of you who are on your way and in the planning stages, and you who are digging in wherever you may be, outside the wire, and in other regions that will likely become future redoubts, bastions of freedom, and freedom lovers, safe havens and refuges to endure the coming economic, social, and political storm that's bearing down on us. I'm doing segment one live tonight, and then we'll be re-airing segment two and the subsequent segments from a series that we aired last summer called the Police State series. So coming up later in the show, we'll be airing the Police State part two, A Nation of Informants. There is a great deal of resources there. If you don't think it's a real threat, then open your eyes. There is too much information and there are too many indicators to ignore the possibility of a Stasi-like, NKVD-esque type of police state that's working its way into the American system. And so anyway, I want you to, for our newer listeners who haven't had a chance to go back and listen to the previous shows all the way back, because guess what? We turn 1 year old this week. Happy birthday to Radio Free Redoubt. And thank you so much for your for those of you who's been with us from the beginning. Next week will be our happy anniversary episode. So I'm looking forward to that. Thank you all for your moral support, your encouragement, prayers, and your emails. They mean a lot. And this has been quite a project. And guess what? I could not have done it without your faithful listenership and your feedback and words of encouragement and, in some cases, wise counsel from many of you. Also, for the goals that we have for growing our capabilities and to increase our effectiveness, thank you for those of you who have helped us with your financial support. We don't get a lot of that, so every little bit is most appreciated. And just to reiterate, we always strive to be good stewards with those gifts, the financial support. And we always approach spending decisions with prayer, wisdom, and careful consideration as to what are the highest priorities to keep us on the air. And not just for today, but for the times ahead as well. And it ain't cheap, and I'm certainly not rich. Far from it. So thank you. Oh, and some folks get a little edgy about using PayPal for a number of different reasons to make donations, but they still want to contribute financially. If that description fits you, then email me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com for alternative methods of financially supporting Radio Free Redoubt, and we'll be happy to give you the details on how to do that, and we'll work out some kind of arrangements, because that's been brought up. Okay, let's see here. I got a couple of messages. First, Delta 01, I just got in, but I got your email about your Thunderbird, and I'll make the appropriate updates within the next 24 hours, and I'll email you as well. Alpha 3, your public key is coming back is not valid, so if you have a different one, let me know. Otherwise, we'll have to work out those details, because I have correspondence from a particular Amron operator that I need to pass along to you, but I need to do that, and I need a good public key to make sure that I can do that. And hey, we have several new members to the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, Amron, and members of the American Redoubt Network, ARN. Those are the non-AMRON members. And so I'll be getting those processed. You've not been forgotten. And you should be getting a welcome letter within the next 24 to 36 hours as well. And for the rest of you, don't forget to keep your AMRON, your ARN network roster updated and printed out in hard copy to keep in your communications binder. And look that over and make sure your information is up to date as well. We're working on several things. There's going to be some changes coming. And of course, I'll be emailing those to those of you who are in the American Redoubt Network. And particularly those of you who are AMRON operators, whether you're a ham or a relay. So let's get right down to news and commentary. This week, the House is considering handing over internet regulation to the United Nations. Oh, goody. China, Russia, Brazil, India, and other UN members are backing a proposal to hand over regulation of the internet to the UN's International Telecommunications Union. That's the ITU. The House of Representatives will vote on the measure this week, and it is reported that the legislation faces an uphill battle. Good. Some of these people forget that we are a sovereign nation. They want to hand everything over to the UN. The proposal would give the United Nations control over cybersecurity. No, that's not good. Data privacy, technical standards, and the web address system. The present system is operated by a multi-stakeholder approach that gives control to nonprofits instead of governments. Good, that's how it should be. Larry Strickling, who heads up the Commerce Department's National Telecommunications and Information Administration, that's a mouthful, told The Hill that the measure would impose top-down regulation where it's really the governments that are at the table, but the rest of the stakeholders aren't. Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio said earlier this month that China and Russia are not exactly bastions of internet freedom. Of course, Mitt Romney is considering Rubio as his vice president. It should be actually probably the other way around. Let's see here. Oh, breaking news. U.S. Senator Rand Paul offers a surprise amendment to rein in the FDA abuses and disarm the FDA, because, of course, they got their own SWAT teams now. It's like everybody else. Department of Education even has them. And to also decriminalize free speech. Well, this might be an uphill battle, too. In a stunning and completely unannounced move, U.S. Senator Rand Paul, who many agree represents the best hope for the restoration of liberty in America, has introduced an amendment to a key FDA funding bill that seeks to sharply rein in the FDA's power. It would disarm the FDA and make the agency stop using guns against the American people. It would halt the FDA's armed raids on raw milk farmers. It would also stop the FDA's outrageous and longstanding censorship of truthful health claims of dietary supplements and medicinal herbs. That story is in over at naturalnews.com. There's plenty of supporting documentation as well that I'm going to slip into the highlights and resources posting, which I didn't do last week. I'm sorry. But in the next article, Doomsday Prepper. You guys know that show. It's been on National Geographic, Doomsday Preppers. Sentenced to 21 months in prison for stockpiling destructive devices after an insider rats him out. Alfred Dutton, known for his appearance on the National Geographic reality show Doomsday Preppers, was recently convicted of possession of unregistered destructive devices. Doomsday Preppers most certainly put Mr. Dutton on the radar, but his undoing came at the hands of someone he trusted but shouldn't have. The only source of information for the storage unit search warrant came from Joe Scott, Mr. Dutton's ex-wife's boyfriend. See the consequences of divorce? Mr. Scott often came to Mr. Dutton's apartment to pick up Mr. Dutton's daughter for her visitation. During these visits, Mr. Dutton and Mr. Scott discussed firearms, fireworks, and other explosives. That article was ran over on SHTF plan.com, SchumerHitsTheFanPlan.com. I'm going to post that as well. But this is a great lesson in OPSEC for you preppers. Of course, the fact that this guy went on to do a National Geographic show segment covering all of his preparations is a pretty good indicator as to how seriously this guy takes OPSEC. So he painted a bullseye on himself in a number of different ways. OPSEC, people, that stands for Operation Security. That means you prep and then you zip it. You don't talk about it unless it's with a like-minded, another like-minded person who shares your views, because this kind of stuff can happen. Oh, here's one that just stinks of Agenda 21. Local government tries to regulate businesses out of existence so they won't have to compensate the owners. Now, the practice by local governments of using the power of eminent domain has a long and storied history in America. It's written into the Constitution that governments can seize private property provided that they use it for a public good and pay the owners just compensation. Now, the first of these requirements has been eroded down to nothingness since the case of Kelo versus the City of New London. The second one has remained in force and been an effective deterrent against governments taking away property willy-nilly, since all the costs would add up in theory. Now, unfortunately, Ventura County in California, for our listeners there, I know we got some listeners in Ventura County, has found a way around this limit by using zoning regulations to make it so prohibitively difficult for businesses to exist that the owners just pack up and leave on their own. And why? Well, according to the video that I have here that's posted over at The Blaze, because the local government doesn't like the fact that there are human beings living out in the rural parts of Ventura County and spoiling it for the wildlife. So for the public good, they're trying to take this property. People don't want to give it up. These businesses don't want to move. So they regulate them until they basically either go out of business or they move to avoid the overregulation. So if you're like-minded and you got a business there in Ventura County and they're trying to run you out, we need some economic stimulus in the American Redoubt. So bring your business here. Oh, and speaking of Agenda 21, of course, the Agenda 21 is the whole move to concentrate populations into more dense, more controllable areas and create open space so that we'll have, you know, sustainability. The Bilderberg puts finishing touches to carbon tax agenda. That's a tax on nothingness, on the carbon footprint that you use. This was also from Prison Planet. The Bilderberg Group plans to put the finishing touches on a global carbon tax agenda that's already in full swing, according to our inside sources. That's Prison Planet talking. With the threat of endangered species set to replace man-made global warming as the main vehicle through which the elite's post-industrial revolution is accomplished. The United Nations Agenda 21 project demands that member nations adopt, catch this, sustainable development policies that are little more than a disguise for the reintroduction of neo-feudalism and only serve to reduce living standards and quality of life. As part of this takeover, their source informs, the Bilderberg are keen on fully enforcing the United Nations Law of the Sea Treaty, which would hand the global body control over all U.S. oceans and force ships to pay a tariff directly to the U.N. Lots of information on there. Oh, here's a pretty good one. Article called Knock Knock, Who's There? Bilderberg? Bilderberg Who? While the representatives of every major international organization on the planet meet in a hotel in Virginia, the corporate media is reporting that Justin Bieber knocked himself out by walking into a door. That's kind of funny because I've kind of made reference to that before, too. Whatever the media is spending the most time talking about, if they say, hey, look over here, this is a sensational story, look elsewhere because something else is going on that we really should be paying attention to. And this this meeting, the agenda that they're trying to hash out at this Bilderberg meeting is definitely something to watch closely. Here's another one to watch closely. The Eurozone reports deepen gloom. The Eurozone data out Friday showing a fresh decline in manufacturing and the highest number of jobless people in the bloc's history suggested further economic floundering as the region's debt crisis deepens. Of course, that goes on and on. Now, who cares about what's happening in the European Union? I mean, thousands of miles away. Well, you and I should be paying attention and caring because it's our canary in the coal mine. When you see those dominoes falling in the European Union, it's on its way here. There's another story from The Blaze that backs that up. A former hedge funder's fearful forecast says, "We are looking at the biggest economic shock the world has ever seen, and there is nothing we can do to stop it." Well, there's a little bit of honesty. That's kind of refreshing. Former co-manager of the GLG Global Macro Fund, Raoul Powell, has joined the growing chorus of economists who believe the global economy is headed in the absolute wrong direction. What does the Goldman Sachs alumnus see on the horizon? Mr. Powell, who writes for the Global Macro Investor, a research publication intended only for larger institutions and hedge funds and family offices, believes that a global banking collapse, that's global, that means we're included, we're invited, and massive defaults will bring about the biggest economic shock the world has ever seen. And he says there's nothing we can do to stop it. And that's pretty dire. He does have a lot of documentation to back up his claims. And of course, I'm going to post some of that on there. Something we should be paying attention to. Let's see. Federal appeals court rules that Defense of Marriage Act is unconstitutional.
Boo.
Yeah. The debate over the federal government's role in marriage continues to be debated. On Thursday, an appeals court ruled that the heart of a law that denies a host of federal benefits to gay married couples is unconstitutional. Let's move on before I get sick. Okay, hey, I'm going to, let's see here. I want to talk about survival over at Survival Blog, but of course, they're back up and running. They have been all week, so they survived their attack, their DOS, denial of service attack. But the James Rawls just posted an update for the book that he's got coming out, scheduled to come out, I believe, in September. It's called Founders. Founders is the second sequel to Patriots, a novel of survival in the coming collapse. It's set contemporaneously to the first two novels, but in a different geography with some crossover characters. And this novel details the epic cross-country trek of Ken and Terry Layton. You remember them for the first book. It was just briefly described in Patriots. There are also storylines at Malmstrom Air Force Base, Montana. That's in the American Redoubt over by Great Falls and in the vicinity of Fort Knox, Kentucky. So he is right now drafting the nonfiction book, also Rawls on Guns and Other Tools for Survival. That will be for Penguin Books, as well as two more novels in the Patriot series that will be published. Also, a date to be determined. Now, remember to wait before you order those. Wait until the actual release dates. And then what that does is it gives it the best position in the Amazon and the Barnes & Noble sales rankings that pushes it up toward the top of the list, and including the New York Times bestseller list. So that's really good. Get that to look forward to. Okay, I got a listener letter this week, and among other things, he asked for clarification. He asked, does the Tapper net supersede the Amron frequencies? Okay, no, it doesn't. TapperNet is the American Prepper Radio Network for operating radios, mostly HF, but it is a plan that folks can use right now, today, pre-Teotihuacan, to practice their communications gear, and also be able to communicate with like-minded people. Now, I say like-minded because generally they are all preppers. And so you can talk prepper stuff with them. But they're not all American Redoubt, or they're not Redoubters. Okay, so that allows you to, you know, be able to communicate and basically hide out in the open and in plain sight. The Amron frequencies are set aside only for use in a real-world down Teotihuacan situation. So instead of one superseding the other, they'll actually mesh together and they'll be used side by side in a real-world situation. But the Amron frequencies are a little more thorough. I mean, there's primary and alternate frequencies, and they cover the 70 centimeters. So what we're probably going to do is revise that so that the Tappernet and Amron frequencies mesh together. And we'll let you know when that change takes place. So it'll probably be happening in the next few weeks because we have a Teotihuacan prepper, a readiness exercise that we're going to do later in the summer. We'll be giving you details on that. I'll probably start giving you some more details on that next week. A chance for you to practice your bug out or your bug in plan, including your communication plan, where folks can start using the CH3, the hams, and the relays. And this will be just kind of a comprehensive readiness exercise. And so, yeah, we'll have more details for you on that. Let's see here. Okay, well, I'm going to take a break. And then right after that, we're going to get into week 9 from last July. It's the Police State Part 2, A Nation of Informants. I'm going to post the highlights and resources posting link in today's posting. So you'll be able to go to that and look at the YouTube videos and other documentation, letters and reports and articles that support this, what could potentially be a very real threat, and with also some historical context, so you can compare that. You learn from history, right? So we can see how the indicators that we've seen that could give us indicators as to what we can see unfolding in the future if we don't change our ways. So anyway, hey guys, this is John Jacob Schmidt, and you're listening to The Voice of the American Redoubt. You all have a great week. God bless, and keep the letters coming in. Good night.
Help keep a watchful eye out for tyranny and the police state. If you see something, say something.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
Are you a licensed ham operator? If so, the American Redoubt Movement needs your help. To support the mission of keeping the American Redoubt connected in a Teotihuacan situation, Radio Free Redoubt is working on a project to build a network of patriotic, amateur radio operators who consider themselves Redoubters. Your skills will be critical in rebuilding and advancing the American Redoubt Movement after Teotihuacan. Please email us at radiofreeredoubt@gmail.com to find out how you can partner with Radio Free Redoubt in this critical and time-sensitive project. Your input and ideas are greatly appreciated. Thank you, ham operators, for what you do.
If you are a real estate relocation specialist and would like to be added as a resource at Radio Free Redoubt, then contact us at radiofreeredoubt@gmail.com and type relocation specialist in the subject line. We'd especially like to hear from you if you specialize in relocating businesses into your community.
Have you been searching for a time-proven way to protect your valuables and your loved ones? Rainy Day Root Cellars has the solution. Whether you need safe shelter from a storm, secure protection for your belongings, or a perfect place for your food storage, Rainy Day Root Cellars provides you and your family with the ultimate in discreet and secure protection. Visit them today at www.rainydayrootcellars.com. Rainy Day Root Cellars, security you can count on.
Welcome back from the break. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and you are tuned in to Radio Free Readout on Sunday evening, July 31st, 2011. Like I said, I want to jump right into this with both feet because we've got a lot of territory to cover, so we can get it crammed into three shows. This week, of course, being the second show in the series, I'm talking about the topic of the police state and martial law. They are not the same thing, but they do tend to blur together, so it's difficult to delve into one and not the other. Now, I know many of you are up on a lot of this and may not be learning anything new, but hopefully we're able to bring some things to your attention that maybe you haven't heard. But really, specifically, I want to approach the topic from a different angle than what you may have heard in the past. We're coming at this from a point of view as citizens living in the American Redoubt. The American Redoubt movement is an ideological, theological, and political demographic shift. Or rather, a building up of like-minded, conservative, God-fearing American patriots into a geographic region to better increase the chances of preserving our American ideals and heritage that we see rapidly eroding across the rest of our once great nation. I hear some people say, America is still a great nation. And I say, compared to what? Maybe the America that's in your heart is a great nation, but you hold up what America used to be and what it was intended to be next to the America of today, you'll see two completely different countries. They are not the same. Whatever you can find great about the America of today, you're seeing the remaining remnants of what made our country so great and so powerful. And those remnants are hanging on by a thread. And they're disappearing before our eyes. If you're honest, in your heart, you know that I'm speaking the truth. And it breaks my heart that I can say those things knowing that it's true. And that's why the American Redoubt movement is taking root. And right now it's just a little sprout, a little bud that just surfaced. The seed was planted by James Rawls. And the mission of Radio Free Redoubt is to cultivate it until it bears fruit. Because based on all appearances and evidence and what our understanding of history and human nature tells us, there are people who are doing everything they can, both intentionally and unwittingly, to destroy the Republic of the United States. And those people are using many different tools to do that. And what we're seeing unfold, combined with what we know from history, reveals a pattern with a predictable outcome, if we allow it. How did tyranny take hold in the past? One of two ways, almost always. It made an abrupt appearance as the solution to a people's misfortune, where the people begged for it at first, or it crept in gradually when the citizens were distracted, looking the other way. And then once the people realized they were in trouble, it was too late. Some people tried to resist while others went along with it. Hey, if you can't beat them, may as well join them, eh? Well, John Jacob Schmidt, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about when you realize the government that was your servant, somehow at some point you can't even identify, became the master, and one at which it can't even resist its own natural instinct, which is to dominate and control and to confront and destroy anything it perceives as a threat. Yeah, but that's history. I mean, you're talking like really old history. Like Stalin or Hitler or Cold War communism and that kind of stuff, right? You couldn't even draw a comparison between the U.S. and them, right? Wrong. In fact, the parallels are what's so alarming. And all these examples, and so many more we haven't even mentioned, are frighteningly similar to the machine that's being built up today right here in America. Now, I gave you all a homework assignment. Those three video series that are posted on week 8 highlights and resources page from last week. You watched them, right? Because they covered the East German Stasi. They covered the Nazi Gestapo and the secret police under Stalin, which was the Cheka and then the NKVD. And of course, then it was the predecessor to the Soviet KGB, their secret police and intelligence system. All three of these, and like I said, many, many more that I haven't even mentioned, used several tactics to gain and maintain control over the populace, always for their own good or for keeping people safe, always in the name of security. Now, one of the ways they did this is through wide and deep informant networks. First of all, the secret police, or the police state, expended incredible amounts of resources in manpower and money to develop and maintain surveillance systems. And they had thousands and thousands of people working for them. In 1989, at the time of the Berlin Wall fell, the East German Communist Secret Police, the Stasi, had 91,015 people working for them. That includes 2,000 fully employed unofficial collaborators, over 15,000 soldiers and officers in the army. In addition to that, they had over 173,000 unofficial informants inside East Germany. Now, those figures are from official records, but check this out. It's estimated, because so many records were destroyed, that the true number is about 500,000 Stasi informants. A former Stasi colonel who served in the counterintelligence directorate estimated the figure could be as high as 2 million if they also included occasional informants. And the Nazi Gestapo and the Soviet Cheka, or NKVD, were just as far-reaching. And the Department of Homeland Security has ambitions of becoming so large as to dwarf those I just mentioned. You might argue that the United States couldn't even be compared to those evil regimes. Well, no, only because the system that's being systematically put in place right now isn't fully developed. We can look in the history books and see how those police states looked when they fully matured. But our history is still being written. What will the history books say about America in 50 or 60 years? Oh, what was that? Did I just hear somebody say that would never happen in America? Well, let's take a look. First of all, fighting terrorism is great, but you hopefully have been paying attention. Because if you have, you'll notice that the term terrorism or terrorist is heard with much less frequency today. The terminology is being replaced. It's replacing the word terrorism. It's morphing to things like domestic terrorism, and then shifts to domestic terror threat, then homegrown terror, then homegrown radicalization, which can encompass anything if you wish to interpret it just right. And homegrown extremism was next, and then finally, right where they wanted it all to end up, right-wing extremism. And like we talked about last week, that encompasses many, many groups of people. If you support Chuck Baldwin or Ron Paul, if you promote liberty or what they call being a libertarian, if you promote the Constitution, homeschooling, teachings of the Founding Fathers, if you're opposed to abortion or gun control measures, if you support protecting your borders and reject the globalist agenda of dissolving the borders, you just might be a homegrown right-wing terrorist extremist. Or at least you have the strong potential to become one and need to be watched. How in the world did we come to the point in our country where you could be investigated for promoting terrorism and espionage because you told a group of Boy Scouts to defend the Constitution while they were taking a tour of your Bible college? Read it for yourself. It's right there on the highlights page, resources. All of this is included in our highlights and resources page. Everything that we talk about, it's there for you. We want you to be able to check us out, keep us accountable as well. But you need to be aware of this stuff, because patriotic Americans are being categorized as right-wing extremists, as being homegrown radicalized, or as being homegrown terrorists. In some way or another, you're being categorically marked in the mind's eye of some people as being a threat. You think this isn't heading down the same path as the secret police in communist East Germany? Listen to this clip from a documentary on the Stasi.
The Stasi classifies political opponents as hostile persons, hostile negative persons, and, as the most dangerous group, hardened hostile negative persons. These individuals are considered lost to East Germany and not reclaimable. They're subject to the strictest scrutiny to prevent public actions on their part.
That's the Stasi. They had labels to place on people who they considered a threat to the system. And they rolled up anyone who they even remotely suspected as being a nonconformist. According to the MIAC report, as well as many, many other documents, They're creating suspicion and demonizing anyone and everyone who opposes their agenda and stands for traditional American ideals and Judeo-Christian ideals. And they're sending out warnings of what they claim are acts that you could carry out. Not so much on what people do, it's what you have the potential to do based on your belief system. Listen to this clip.
Political criminal law pursues not so much actual acts as potential acts. The Stasi develops detailed criteria for determining when a suspicious individual may be investigated.
Is this sounding familiar? And you've heard me report on technology that the DHS is implementing to anticipate future crimes, like the so-called malintent detectors that we mentioned a few weeks ago, and the hiring of pre-crime behavioral specialists. That's a great one. They're looking for the threat before it happens. Wow, now that would be great until they start redefining what they consider a threat is. And anything you might believe that doesn't toe the line is a threat to them. That makes sense. Anything you might believe that doesn't toe the line is a threat to them. Don't be deceived into thinking humanity has somehow evolved into this refined, enlightened, utopian culture. The opposite is happening. Here's another one. Again, they're talking about the Stasi, one of the most oppressive secret police and citizen surveillance apparatuses ever to be implemented. Listen to this.
Categories of suspects for which the Stasi would initiate operative action, as they called it, were precisely defined in terms of what was of importance to the apparatus. Yet, when you peruse them from cover to cover, you'll find out that virtually everything was of interest. Often, you'll find those classifications used in the so-called hand files, files on citizens who were not under permanent scrutiny, but were being looked at for some particular cause. They included everything from spy and former party member, over non-voter, to volunteer firefighter. And the catch-all category that we once found at a local office was malcontent and chronic complainer. That classification cleared the way for any Stasi employee to open a file on someone.
Arrests were generally made in the early morning hours.
Malcontent and chronic complainer. In other words, if you speak up and show disapproval of the system. Play clip three.
The threat of imprisonment was always present. Without it, the apparatus could not have worked, not had the impact it did. But actually, the goal was to stop what were offenses to the party before they even took place, not to let them advance to the point of imprisonment, but nip them in the bud through disintegration measures and such, and likewise to sniff out every potential stirring of criticism, preferably before it was even thought of.
Does this sound familiar? It does if you've been doing your homework. If not, go through those links and videos in the highlights and resources page for this week, week 9. They're not just calling Islamic terrorists a threat anymore. In fact, when they talk about homegrown radicalization, they're not just talking about skinheads and neo-Nazis. The DHS has recently released a document from what they refer to as a reference aid from their Office of Intelligence and Analysis, titled Domestic Extremism Lexicon. What's on the list? Well, let's just take a look. It starts off with the following statement, prepared by the Strategic Analysis Group and the Extremism and Radicalization Branch, Homeland Environment Threat Analysis Division. Oh, lots of big words. Okay, right toward the top of the list is this one. This is unclassified, by the way. Alternative media, that is listed as one of the potential threats. Alternative media, a term used to describe various information sources that provide a forum for interpretations of events and issues that differ radically from those presented in mass media products and outlets. So John Jacob Schmidt and Radio Free Readout fall into this category right off the bat. I'm not off to a very good start with these guys. Okay, running down the list, let's see. They have anarchists, animal rights, anti-abortion extremism, anti-immigration extremism. Now, under that one, a movement of groups or individuals who are vehemently opposed to illegal immigration, particularly along the U.S. Southwest border, with Mexico, and who have been known to advocate or engage in criminal activity and plots of acts and violence, and terrorism to advance their extremist goals. Of course, volunteering to help a rancher patrol his property from nightly raids by drug dealers and human traffickers who regularly shoot at the landowners is planned violence and terrorism. These people are so delusional. Anyway, it also says they're highly critical of the U.S. government's response to illegal immigration and oppose government programs that are designed to extend rights to illegal aliens, such as issuing driver's licenses or national identification cards and providing in-state tuition, medical benefits, or public education. Am I the only one who feels like he's living in Alice in Wonderland? They just described 99.9% of our listening audience. Oh, but it gets better. Decentralized terrorist movement. That's a movement of groups or individuals who pursue shared ideological goals through tactics of leaderless resistance of independent of any larger terrorist organization. So if you share ideological goals with others and you're politically motivated, and you don't have a leader, then you you're it. You're part of the leaderless resistance movement. Okay, here's one of the many vaguely written catch-all categories in the glossary that, for political expediency, could be applied to anyone they want to label a threat. And here it comes: extremist group. This is one of their categories. This is an ideologically driven organization that advocates or attempts to bring about political, religious, economic, or social change through the use of violence, force, or ideologically motivated criminal activity. So if they ban non-state approved churches or radio broadcasts, newspapers, or whatever, then doing those activities would be a crime, and then you'd fall into this category. Hate groups. It's a term most often used to describe white supremacist groups, but churches, even Focus on the Family or the American Family Association, has been labeled as a hate group, right? Because of their opposition to the homosexual agenda. See how they're setting all this up to commingle all the groups into one classification. That classification being extremist. Anti-abortionists and anti-illegal immigration share the same list as neo-Nazis and anarchists. Oh, and another one. Jewish extremists. That's a good one. The militia movement precedes the neo-Nazis on that list as well. The militia movement is described as a right-wing extremist movement composed of groups or individuals who adhere to an anti-government ideology. That's a lie. Often incorporating various conspiracy theories. Members oppose most federal and state laws and regulations and authority. That's another lie. These people are liars. Here's one of my favorites. This is designed to demonize the Tea Party. Patriot movement, a term used by right-wing extremists to link their beliefs to those commonly associated with the American Revolution. The Patriot movement primarily comprises violent anti-government groups, more lies, such as militias and sovereign citizens. In brackets, it also lists Christian patriots, patriot group, constitutionalists, and constitutionists. This is happening in the United States of America, people. If you are an American patriot, you just made your government's list for domestic extremism and their lexicon for potential future terrorist activity. I'm reading it to you right out of a document produced and distributed by our own government. Radicalization, the process by which an individual adopts an extremist belief system leading to his or her willingness to advocate or bring out political, religious, or economic or social change through the use of force, violence, or ideologically motivated criminal activity. Again, they can deem anything to be a crime. And with the stroke of a pen, you meet this criteria. Here's another one that fits 99.99% of all of our American listening audience. right-wing extremism. It's a movement of right-wing groups or individuals who can be broadly divided into those who are primarily hate-oriented. Any of you opposed to gays in the military, homosexual marriage, illegal immigration? You haters. Oh, and those who are mainly anti-government, more lies, and reject federal authority in favor of state or local authority. Oh, wow. You reject federal authority in favor of state or local authority. So in other words, if you refer to the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, this description fits our founding fathers and you and me. This falls right in line with the anti-federalists at the Constitutional Convention and who signed the Bill of Rights. And I'm proud to be placed in the same category as them. What an honor. Serious. Whoa, okay, here it is. In their own words, this term also may refer to right-wing extremist movements that are dedicated to a single issue, such as opposition to abortion or immigration. Wow. Okay, and of course, the list goes on to name several supremacist groups and violent racist groups, of course. And I read verbatim. This product is one in a series of reference aids designed to provide operational and intelligence advice and assistance to other elements of DHS, as well as state, local, and regional fusion centers. DHS INA intends this background information to assist federal, state, local, and tribal homeland security and law enforcement officials in conducting analytic activities. So this is a tool to help them analyze what is a threat. So where do all these so-called analysts come from? Where do they come up with these names and descriptions? And since the Department of Homeland Security was conceived and born in response to 9/11, when we were attacked by Islamic extremists, why is their focus shifting from Islamic terrorists to American citizens as the high priority target of attention and scrutiny? Patriotic, God-fearing American citizens are now being demonized, categorically listed as potential terrorists, labeled as extremists, and the systems being put in place right now to criminalize their actions and their supposed future potential for terrorism using so-called pre-crime detection agents and software, all by creating or manipulating words and laws. I mean, where did they get the ideas for doing this? Did they get their hands on a Stasi manual or a KGB manual? Well, better than that, they hired the men who wrote the manual and applied it. You think I'm making this stuff up? The Department of Homeland Security hired the former East German Stasi chief. And right after the break, we're going to talk about that. And you heard about it on Radio Free Readout. I'm telling you, something wicked this way comes.
Radio Free Readout is a strong proponent of disaster preparedness and self-sufficient living. Although we touch on the topic from time to time, we're not a resource which specializes in those areas. However, among the hundreds of resources that are out there, we've come across some that we found to be particularly useful. You'll find some of those in a list of links about halfway down the page on the right at www.radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com. In fact, they are the resources that we use. If you know of a resource that has been exceptionally useful to you and would like to see it added to our list of links, email the links to us at radiofreeredoubt@gmail.com.
Please remember to support local businesses whenever you have a choice, especially support Patriot-owned businesses. This will strengthen the American Readout. Look for businesses that advertise in conservative publications or in church or Christian business directories. Of course, we all need accountability, so don't neglect to check references and get competing bids when appropriate.
This is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. The foundation of most food storage programs is wheat. While in the berry, wheat stored properly lasts almost indefinitely. Just ask Pharaoh. The wheat stored in his tomb for over 2,000 years was not only nutritionally viable, it also produced an excellent crop when planted. Remember, once the wheat berries have been cracked or ground, exposing the germ, the wheat will begin to go rancid within 18 hours. If you choose to incorporate flour into your stored foods rotation, white flour is a better choice than wheat. Although nutritionally inferior, white flour has had the germ removed, thus eliminating the chance for spoilage. In the service of the king, this is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the prepper tip of the week. Survival favors the prepared.
You're listening to John Jacob Schmidt on Radio Free Readout.
And it goes a little something like this.
Okay, remember I was talking about the segment where I wiped out my outline and notes? Well, here we are. I threw it all back together, and so you're going to have to bear with me. You with me? All right, we'll get through this together. Before the break, I mentioned that DHS hired people who previously headed the Stasi and KGB secret police organizations. Well, scratch the KGB. That's a whole different story. That's another rabbit trail that might be able to get covered sometime down the road. But it's documented that they hired the former chief of the Stasi. Isn't that almost inconceivable? If someone opened up a new bank and on their advisory committee, they hired some former mafia accountants who specialized in hiding money and tax evasion, wouldn't that make you curious as to the intent of the banker who hired them? Now, if you want to control the masses and implement a police state, who could you go to? Well, the best oppressors with the most experience at terrorizing people. You'd want to hire people who are second to none experts in their field. If you want to see the direction the leadership wants to take an organization, you look at the philosophies, the methods, and the past performance histories of the people they hire. And in December of 2004 and January of 2005, a report was released by a political analyst, Al Martin, and reportedly confirmed by an unnamed congressman that the Department of Homeland Security hired former Stasi head Marcus Wolf as an advisor. What kind of skill sets does Herr Wolf possess that DHS could possibly be in need of? Well, according to this report, Martin says Wolf is the man that effectively built the East German State Intelligence Operations Internal Directorate. He also continues to say that Mr. Wolf turned half the population into informants. That is his specialty, is taking a population, constructing the various state divisions, mechanisms of control, in order to organize informants within the population. That is his real specialty. Wolf's specialty was to turn East Germany into the greatest and most efficient informant state ever created. I haven't been able to check on the reliability of this source, but it's reported in several places. And what the DHS is doing, from the Mall of America to Walmart with their See Something, Say Something campaign, seems very Stasi-esque. The DHS several years ago wanted a program called TIPS, which stood for Terrorism Information and Prevention System, and would have trained as many as one in every 24 Americans in spotting and reporting so-called suspicious activity. But it was shot down by Congress, supposedly. Now, since then, two new programs have emerged called Highway Watch and the TLO program, or Terrorism Liaison Officer program. These programs are training tens of thousands of truck drivers, bus drivers, construction workers, utility workers, garbage collectors, firefighters, police officers, toll booth operators, and on, how to spot and report anything suspicious. Of course, with the ever-shifting definitions of terrorism to include homegrown terrorism, homegrown radicalization, or right-wing extremism, it gets very vague as to what the heck they're supposed to be reporting. Because the way things are going, you could be doing your patriotic duty for calling in when you see a car with a Gadsden flag on it. But we're seeing the conditioning process right now and the mechanism being put in place for the police state, a nation of informants. And what is our nation mostly comprised of, demographically, religiously? Well, approximately 70% or more of Americans identify themselves as Christians. And we know that most of them, revolutionary types, you know, like Tea Partiers and the like, are Christians. How can we get them under control? Hopefully, we can get ahead of the curve on that one. Remember the sound clip that I played in the last segment, the one that talked about sniffing out opposition, especially nipping it in the bud, especially even before it starts as a thought? How can you do that? You need to tell them what to think. But who will they listen to? They'll listen to their pastors. Yeah, let's do that. We'll listen to what the pastors have to say. Some of them anyway. And not all pastors are pacifists. Don't get me wrong. There are some real godly men out there that are real men. Do you think they'd really do this though? Well, it's already been done. Here's a clip from a pastor right after Hurricane Katrina.
Jeff, the primary thing that we say to anybody is let's cooperate and get this thing over with, and then we'll settle the differences once the crisis is over.
Yeah, let's just go along with it and sort it all out when it's over. That was during Hurricane Katrina, a temporary event, thank God. But then someone said, hey, I got an idea. Let's get these guys to tell their congregations to just be good little meek taxpayers. Good little obedient followers and just do what they're told. These homeschooling, constitution quoting, Bible hugging, homegrown radicals won't listen to us. Let's get their preachers to do the dirty work for us, because if there's a noose around the neck of our clergy, it's their 501(c) tax exempt status. And the last thing a preacher wants, especially in this economy, is to lose their tax exempt status for not towing the line. That is being used in leverage to control what's coming from the pulpit on politics, gay marriage, and so on. Don't think they won't use it when it comes to talking believers into doing whatever the nice man with the machine gun says. Get on the truck. Get on the cattle car. Turn in your guns, knives, Leathermans, etc. Just put them in the amnesty box right over there. It's all part of the in-processing before we can let you go into the relief center where we have a hot bowl of soup waiting for you and your family. Women over there, men through that gate. Don't worry, you'll be reunited later. But how are they going to get the clergy to convince all the people to go along with this? Well, that book over there on the shelf that you dust off once a week, your own Bible.
For the clergy, one of the biggest tools that they will have in helping calm the public down or obey the law is the Bible itself, specifically Romans, Romans 13.
Because the government is established by the Lord, you know, and that's what we believe in the Christian faith. That's what's stated in the scripture.
That's right. The Word of God. Let me tell you something. When you have a government and the slipstream media telling you your Bible is full of hate and intolerance because it says homosexuality is a sin and it says that Jesus is the only way to the Father, and those scriptures are just for the weak-minded and the superstitious, and then they conveniently attempt to manipulate you into submitting to them because the Bible says so, danger. When the only time they refer to the Word of God is to convince you to accept evil oppression, globalism, and tyranny, look out. Keep in mind, Satan knows the scripture better than you. And don't think for a minute that the people in the world carrying out his plan won't feel inspired to use the Word of God out of context to manipulate you. Do not fall for it. If you're new, and especially if you're a pastor, go back and listen to week 6, titled The Church. You listen to that. That's where I stand on the issue, And that's where probably 100% of our listeners stand on the issue. And a huge percentage of you parishioners feel the same way. All of you need to listen to that one. And my views on that topic are not up for debate. It's one of my hot buttons, as most of you know. But that Hurricane Katrina deal was an isolated incident, right? I mean, they don't actually have a plan to have our pastors go around telling their congregations to just go along with anything, are they? Yep, it's happening right now. If you're not convinced, take a listen to this pastor, a patriot, who attended a FEMA conference and a workshop for pastors and chaplains. He went on to the Alex Jones Show because he wanted to get the word out to people and let them know what's going on. Take a listen.
That was wonderful stuff when they started out, but it immediately turned into this is for a natural disaster, a tornado, flood, or any act of bioterrorism, or a nationally declared emergency. And so I lit up to that one, and the spokesperson there was from the state FEMA office, who also is the trainer for pastors in their training program for pastors. He said, your job, pastors, is to get to your congregations and preach to them Romans 13. And that's the part that says you obey the higher powers. And he was saying you have to teach them to obey their governments.
By the way, Hitler did that. He had a core of preachers that preached Romans 13 out of context.
Yes, he did. And this is what he wanted us to do. And so he's telling us that. He's telling us, and the thing that really got us started on this, and when I started contacting people, is when he said the problem with local enforcement of a federal or state mandate that is quarantine or relocation, and these are the terms he used, or a declaration of martial law based on whatever disaster it might be.
He said martial law. Let's be clear.
Yes, he did. And he said if it goes the distance, the problem is all along the way, is this so-called cowboy mentality, and you pastors are going to have to learn to quell that cowboy mentality. And so I asked him what he meant. He said, you know, the individualistic effort that stands up and said, this is my property, you'll pry guns from my cold, dead hand kind of thing. And everybody laughed. There were only about six people there. And he said, we're talking about law enforcement. That's a law enforcement issue. We're talking about you pastors going there because you know the people, you all are trusted, and you'll be preaching this ahead of time. You can stand in the neighborhoods and tell people this is for their own good.
And Alex Jones is right. That's exactly what Hitler did. And once they got the church leaders to convince everyone to just go along with it, and that we'll sort all this out when the crisis is over, then the preachers turned around, only to realize that they themselves were looking down the barrel of a gun. You're next. On the train. Let's go. What? But I was helping you. You sure were, and the blood of those people is on your hands. There were other people who were caught up in that conundrum, people who were in positions of influence and even authority, police officers. I'd like to ask you to stick around for just a few more minutes, because right after a short break, I'm going to talk about what we have in store for next week's show. And we're going to start wrapping things up, and I'll tell you why. You're listening to Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the American Redoubt.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
Hi, this is Evelyn with a communication tip in a minute from Radio Free Redoubt. An Amron volunteer relay is the valuable link between different types of communications. Someone with an FRS radio, for example, can't hear valuable information being transmitted by someone else on a CB radio. The relay is that link with at least two separate types of radios. The most effective Amron relay volunteers are those who can link ham operators with non-ham operators.
If you're a relay, you should set a goal to have, at a minimum, a receiver capable of monitoring HF, which is high frequency, also known as shortwave, or a scanner for monitoring UHF and VHF traffic. This has been a public service announcement to support the CH3 Project and AMRON, the American Readout Radio Operators Network.
Benjamin Franklin said, "A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins." Those words are so full of wisdom. Unfortunately, to today's anti-American left, black is white and white is black. Up is down and down is up. I am informed and I know and prize my rights. Sadly, to today's socialist elite, quote, well-informed means that you see things their way. I find it interesting that the globalist elitists of today attempt to coerce the masses, and especially the dissenters, by using control buzzwords like ignorance. If you oppose them, you are ignorant. And no one wants to be called ignorant. The implication is that they are enlightened and you are not, which makes you want to fall in line and be like them. If Mr. Franklin were alive today, he would be considered ignorant by the so-called elite. Of course, he would rebut that they are tyrants, and I would stand with Mr. Franklin. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Across America, the police state is growing. If you are in law enforcement or in the military and you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot who took your oath to protect and defend the Constitution seriously, and you see training and indoctrination that supports the police state, notify Radio Free Readout at once so we can inform others. You can do this confidentially. Your email and any other information will never be made public without your permission. Remember, if you see something, say something.
Have you been searching for a time-proven way to protect your valuables and your loved ones? Rainy Day Root Cellars has the solution. Whether you need safe shelter from a storm, secure protection for your belongings, or a perfect place for your food storage, Rainy Day Root Cellars provides you and your family with the ultimate in discreet and secure protection. Visit them today at www.rainydayrootcellars.com. Rainy Day Root Cellars, security you can count on.
It's been so great having you with us tonight. Thank you once again. Sometimes I feel like a voice in the wilderness shouting from the mountaintops, but I know I'm not alone. I know that so many of you out there feel what I'm feeling as a patriot living in an America that's not the same country we fell in love with. Our nation's under assault, and it's time for you, God-fearing patriots, to make your move to the American Redoubt, the safe haven and refuge where, Lord willing, we'll be able to preserve the spirit of America and our Judeo-Christian values and our beliefs within the amount of mountain states of the inland Pacific Northwest. My beloved friends and fellow countrymen, my brothers and sisters in law enforcement, most of you are already aware of the battle that's taking place. You feel it. An internal struggle, a spiritual battle, a tug of war inside of you that drives you to want to stand up against evil and be the thin blue line between we, the citizens, and the predatory criminals that live among us. You're sheepdogs. You're protectors. It's not something you learned and something you became. It's what you are. It's how God hardwired you. But your superiors are rewriting the playbook, and they're defining what criminal and extremist and even potential terrorist means. And you're caught up in the middle of it. I was hoping to get to it this week, but there's just so much information to get through. I wanted to dedicate the better part of a whole broadcast to the subject because I think it's that important. So that's what we're going to do next week. Now that we have a lot more of the American informant message covered. At least it was a great introduction. Remember, nearly everything we cover in our broadcast, we'll be revisiting in the future and coming back to those topics, not just bringing awareness and informing, but also equipping you all with practical action plans. I always want to include something that you can walk away with something you can do about it. It gets frustrating, I know, when you You become aware of something big and important and relevant to you and don't know what to do about it. So there we are. That's what I'll be doing for you as citizens next week, as clergy, as police officers, and military personnel. If you're an American patriot, then please join us next week for an important, relevant, and powerful message. I don't mean to be just stringing you all along. I'm really trying to get through all this. It's not like on the news when they throw out a teaser like, man mutilated by pit bull. Watch the exclusive graphic footage coming up on the news 10 at 10. And then they drag it out for the next hour. And then they end up just showing you a little 7-second cell phone video blur thing with a dog barking and a man running. And so I hate that when they do that. No, it's just that I really want to approach the subject in an organized manner that flows well. And the next step in that flow brings us to how our police are being manipulated into becoming tools for the next Stasi, including our military. And you agents out there, whether you're FBI, Homeland Security, a GS, contractor, analysts, whatever, you listen too, because I have a message for you next week as well. All right. I want to remind you all that you can listen to all of our previous broadcasts on the Podbean player located on the right side of the blog. Just scroll down about halfway down the blog. And if you'd like to download any or all of our previous shows, you can just click on the little icon there that says website right next to it. And that will take you to radiofreereadout.podbean.com. Next to each episode, just click where it says download and follow the very simple instructions so that you can download it to your portable MP3 player and listen throughout the week. Don't forget to rate the show if you would, and 1 through 5 stars, and feel free to leave comments. Let us know how you like that particular show. Now, right after tonight's broadcast, we'll be airing another nostalgic episode of intense communist eluding spy versus spy broadcasting from I Was a Communist for the FBI. This week's show titled Where the Red Men Roam. Sorry about that. I hit my mic. This week's show titled Where the Red Men Roam. I hope you enjoy it. Then in about 28 minutes from now, we'll be re-airing the broadcast that you just heard in case you missed any of it. Once again, thank you so very much for all of your encouragement, your financial support, and especially your prayers. Remember to pray for our leaders, for wisdom and guidance, and for our nation, for protection from the plans laid by evil men. Please remember to stay in the Word yourselves and pray for wisdom as you prepare yourself and your family for the difficult times coming to our nation. I'm John Jacob Schmidt at Radio Free Redoubt. Until we meet again next Sunday evening, have a great week and good night.